Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
All right, folks, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament today. We're going to go to Psalm 51, which is a well-known psalm. It's David's psalm of confession, and I'm going to tell you why we're going to go there in a minute. But let me just kind of remind you, we're in a new series. And with the series, we are looking at how you and I can experience the relationship, the Lord and you. How you can grow in that relationship. And last week we talked about it's a relationship that God really, really wants to have with you. It was what he created us for. And of course, man blew that up. Adam and Eve blew that up, and it has affected every one of us. But it's still something that he wanted, so much so that in order to establish that relationship again, he sent Jesus to die for us, to give us eternal life. And Jesus even prayed in the great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17 that he would keep us. He so wants that relationship. He doesn't want us to mess it up again. And one day when we go to be with him, we'll physically interact with him again. And I'm hopeful that as you listen to that and as you consider what was being said and what I'm telling you even right now, you're probably saying to yourself, yeah, I want that relationship. Well, the problem is that, let's be honest, we can be hesitant. And a lot of different reasons why. I'm going to give you two things to think about when we talk about being hesitant. Here's the first one. While we understand that the Lord wants a relationship, we're hesitant. You know, so you hear that God wants to have this intimate time with you. He wants to interact with you. And we get hesitant about it. We really aren't sure. And some of that has to do with just relationships in general. So let's talk about human relationships. I've already mentioned in my prayer earlier that human relationships are fragile, right? So you take any human relationship and at some point somebody's going to disappoint someone else. That just happens. And when that disappointment happens, are things the way they used to be in that relationship? No, not necessarily. In fact, for the person who hurt someone, even if there is some sort of reconciliation going on, you usually find that people are hesitant to go further in that relationship. Why? Because they're afraid of what the other person might say or what the other person might bring up or what the other person remembers or holds on to. There just is a hesitancy. And that happens in our relationship. And that happens and causes us problems when we talk about wanting to pursue the Lord. We want to have an intimate time with the Lord, interacting with him. But the problem is, we're hesitant. And the main reason why, here's my second point, is our hesitancy is due to an awareness of our sins and past failures. And sometimes, can I be honest with you, church amplifies that. What do you mean, George? Well, first of all, if you're trying to have a relationship with the Lord and you mess up in your life and you make the wrong decision and you go do your own thing and you at one time really loved him and were seeking after him, but then you just kind of went off, and the old time word is backslide. You backslid or you went your own direction and you did your own thing. And then now you keep hearing about God wants to have that relationship with you. You're like, yeah, I want that. But you are hesitant of pursuing it. Even if, as you say you want to pursue it, you're hesitant because you're like, well, maybe it'll not be the same. Maybe God changed towards me because I messed up. I did this. I went in another direction. And so there's this hesitancy. We're afraid. Because again, think about human relationships. If you hurt someone deeply and you're trying to have a relationship with them again, And then as you're pursuing that, there's always that big question mark in the air. Will they remember? Will they hold that against me years later? And sometimes they do, because memories are long, right? And we think that, you know, God's the same way with us, that maybe his memory is long with us and he'll bring it up again. And so we hurt. And it holds us back. And what did you say about church amplifying that, George? Well, for years, church had a good, especially if we were pretty legalistic about it, we had this standard of holiness. If you circumvented that holiness, we would let you know, well, you don't remember, you screwed up, and well, now you can't do this in the church because you did this. And we had a way of telling you that you're not the same anymore. And can I just tell you, that's human beings telling you that. God isn't like that. Yeah, there might be some things that he won't use you for. We understand that. But his acceptance of you hasn't changed. So what we want to do today is we want to go the next step. Because the next step is something you've got to deal with if you're wanting to have a relationship with the Lord. The next step is something you have to deal with in order to experience the relationship that he wants to have with you. You've got to settle in your heart and in your mind some issues. What issues, George? Well, we just talked about them. Your sin and your failure. You've got to settle it in your mind. You've got to realize how God sees you in this and how you should be. That's where you start. Because I'll be honest with you, for most people, they don't move beyond this point. If they don't understand what God's word says, they stay defeated. Oh yeah, they'll come to church and maybe they'll give and yeah, they'll show up to this activity, but then they'll always think of themselves as less than. That somehow they're not truly blessed. And they don't expect anything from the Lord. They don't even expect him to answer prayers because they know the scripture, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear my prayers from Psalm 66. They become convinced that somehow they have become less than. So we have to deal with this issue. We have to start here. And what I'm going to tell you is, listen to me. First of all, he's not shocked that you messed up. You didn't shock him. Heaven didn't turn silent because of that. He's not looking at it as he's done with you. My plan for you is over. You've messed it up totally. No. Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in them. Though he yet stumble, the Lord will uphold him with his hand. I like to say that God's plan for you includes your mess ups. And you will. You have messed up, you will mess up. But we have to start here, because in order to start here, it's not just a one-time event, it is a continual event. And that's why we're going to Psalm 51. Because Psalm 51 is David's great confession of a sin that was pretty bad. What do you mean? Well, I think we know David's sin, right? He got with one of his friend's wife, got her pregnant, tried to finagle it so somehow that the husband would say, realize its own son, but his husband had more integrity and wanted to be with the man in battle while David's luxuring and hanging out in the palace and so forth. And so finally he couldn't get that figured out, so he has the guy, what, killed. He has his friend killed. And then after the period of mourning, he takes Bathsheba to be his wife. And this is about a year or so later, he's confronted and he confesses. And from this confession, we can learn some things today. So let's look with me. We're going to look at verses 1 to 12. Here's what David writes. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, done what is evil in your sight, so that you might be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. All right, folks, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this portion. We're not doing the whole psalm, although the whole psalm is beautiful. I would encourage you to continue reading on. And we're going to talk about two aspects of where to start. We're going to talk about confession, and then we're going to talk about restoration. Confession, what does that mean? And then restoration, which, by the way, can I be honest with you? That's what God wants. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have come and died on the cross. Jesus came and died on a cross for restoration, right? To restore man to a relationship with him. But where does it begin? It has to begin with you confessing. And I'm not just saying, I did it. Or some of the mamby-pamby things we do. I used to do them when I prayed, oh God, I've sinned. No, tell him. He already knows what you did. Like, why do you need to hide it? He was there with you when you did it. So let's look at this together. First of all, let's look at the whole issue of confession. Here, look at again back at verses 1 and 2. Look at what he says. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Here's the first thing I want you to see that David is doing here, that you and I need to do. And this is really the first step in the whole confession issue. Place yourself in the merciful hands of God and seek his help. This dawned on me this week as I was writing this message. Typically, when I've heard about confession, it means I need to go in and tremble and fear. And there is a sense in which I do need to do that. But I just need to confess. I just need to tell him because he's got the hammer. He's going to drop it on me. No. Listen to what David is saying here. Look at what he says here. He says, have mercy on me. Does that sound like somebody who is just confessing? No, he's placing himself in God's hands. Have mercy on me according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me. Cleanse me. He's going to God because he realizes God's the only one who can help him. Did you understand? When we talk about, let's be honest, when you talk about sin in your life, everybody has a list, right? I can almost guarantee you on your list are sins that you are continually falling to. Seriously, whether it's attitudes or actions or words being spoken. They are things that you are aware of, that you know about. It's not like, oh, I wonder what I did wrong today. No, you know what you did wrong. You know the things that your attitudes and the things that you don't do right about. Do you understand? You know what they are. And when you go to him, you're not just confessing him so you can get him. Sometimes that's what we do. We confess so that we can see him answer something in our life. Like it's a two-step process. If I confess, then he'll do what I want him to do. You got a wrong concept of God if that's what it is. Because I'm telling you, it's about a relationship. You confess. But when I go to him, he's not just like me confessing to another person. I'm going to the God of the universe, the one who's supreme and ultimate. And when I go to him, and I say, Lord, I need your help. And why don't we acknowledge that? We need his help. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing the same things on your list of sin all the time, right? Isn't that true? We wouldn't be doing the same things over and over again that we want to be rid of. And so we go to him and we say, Lord, here I am. I need your help. First thing in confession. Here's the second thing. Look with me, verse 3 through 5. For I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Here's what I want you to see. Acknowledge your sin and your tendency to sin. And again, you don't have to. I think this is interesting. He says, I know my sin, and my sin is ever before me. Guys, we don't have to think, man, I know I'm perfect. I've never done anything wrong. You know what it is. It's ever before you. So acknowledge it. Don't sit there and say, oh, maybe I need to think a little bit. No, you don't need to think. You know what it is. And you don't need to tell us. We don't want to hear it. Although there might be some, but be careful of those people, you know, because they'll tell somebody else, right? We don't need to hear it, but he does. He needs you to go to him because you just said, Lord, help me. Help you with what? I'm a mess. And I don't like what I'm doing or continually doing. I don't like the trap I'm in. I don't like the bondage I've enslaved myself to whatever it is. And I need your help. And then it isn't just going and confessing your sins. It's, God, I have a tendency to do this. I'm always open to this. I need your help. Some call it addictions. We all struggle with them, some type. You go to him and you say to him, you just are flat out honest with him. That's really what the issue is, folks. You got to be honest with him. Here's one other thing I want you to see about confession. Look with me at verses 6 through 9. He says this, Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Here's what I want you to see. Ask the Lord to cleanse you from your sin. Now you say, well, yeah, I understand that cleansing thing, George, but I still remember what I did wrong. Yeah, you're always going to remember it. Can I be honest with you? You're always going to remember it. You're not going to forget it. And that's okay that you don't forget. Do you understand? It's okay that you don't forget. It's kind of like a child who puts his hand on a hot stove, right? And they get burned. They don't go and do that again because they remember, don't put your hand on that. I'm going to get hurt, right? There is a sense in which we need to remember things. And so you need to remember the experiences you go through and the consequences you go through and all of that stuff because of your sin. And you need to understand what happens when you sin and the difficulties and the struggles it creates in your life and the relationships it affects and destroys and changes. There's a sense in which we need to remember those things. But here's the thing. He can cleanse you from it, though. And throughout the scripture, He's the one who heals us of our sins and washes us whiter than snow. What do you think in 1 John 1:9, which, by the way, is a great passage when you talk about the relationship. At the end of chapter 1, he says this, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, when you go to him and confess to him your sin, you can be sure that he takes care of it. But the issue is, the conditional statement, if you what? Confess your sins. So this is confession. And David is doing it. Folks, if we're wanting to have a relationship with him, the first step is dealing with our stuff. That's just the bottom line. But it doesn't just end there. With the confession, there has to be restoration. So notice how he continues on in his psalm and what he says. And we're going to learn some things there. Three things we're going to learn here as well. Look with me now at verse 10. Here's what he says. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Here's what I want you to see. Ask the Lord to change your heart and to renew your spirit. That's what he's asking here. Because folks, let's be honest. When we do wrong and it hurts our relationship, it changes us. It defeats us. And so here he is, he's made his confession to the Lord and he's seeking the Lord's cleansing in his life. The next thing he says, God, create in me a clean heart. Give me a whole new heart, Lord. Because let's be honest, your hearts are wicked. Jeremiah says you have a wicked heart. Who can understand them? Only the Lord can give you a new heart. And then what? Renew his spirit's work in your life. Because let's be honest, why do you think when you get to the New Testament, two different places, Paul says this, don't quench the spirit. How do you do that? With your sin. Don't, in another place he'll say, don't grieve the spirit. How do you do that? With your sin. When you and I sin, we affect the relationship. And so I'm going to him and I'm saying, Lord, please create in me a clean heart. Lord, change my heart. Renew your spirit in my life. I want that relationship with you. Here's the second thing he says. Look with me. We go a little bit further. Verse 11. Here's what he says in verse 11. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Now, some folks have a problem with this passage. They say, oh, it's Old Testament, George. I don't know if I can get anything because we have this Holy Spirit now forever. I don't know that that's really what that's for us. No, I think, yes, you have the Holy Spirit forever. He's your seal until the day of redemption. But I think you need to see the greater point. Here's the greater point. Acknowledge that you don't want your sin to hinder the relationship. That's why he's saying that. In David's case, the Spirit only came upon a few individuals, and so with sin, like Saul, remember Saul? Saul had the Spirit at one time, right? But then at some point, because of Saul's sin, the Spirit was removed from him because of the great sin that Saul had committed. David knows, listen to me, folks, David isn't just confessing parking in a handicap place at Walmart. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's not what he's confessing. He's confessing betting the wife of his friend, getting her pregnant, trying to cover it up. When the cover-up doesn't work, then he gets his friend killed. Would you say that's pretty bad? This is pretty bad. And so David is very mindful. Saul never did anything like that. And let me be honest with you, Saul never did anything like this. If you read through 1 Samuel, you don't read Saul doing something like that. And he knows Saul was rejected, and so he's concerned. He's concerned so much so that he says, don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your spirit from me. The greater issue here is that he didn't want his relationship to end. That's restoration. See, when you and I go and confess, we're not... I mean, he's already forgiven us past, present, and future our sins, right? When we got saved, right? We all know that. So why do we confess? We go and confess because we want to make sure the relationship with him is okay again. We want to make things right. And some of us, we need to do that. Here's the final thing I want you to see. Look with me at verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Now this one, you need to hear me. Listen to what he says. Ask the Lord to restore the joy you once had in the Lord. You know, I think back, I had some time over the last few days to reflect. So I was thinking about when I got saved, my salvation. I was thinking about the message I would be bringing, and I was thinking about the joy that I had when I first came to Jesus. And I saw him answer prayers, and I saw him do things, and I also remembered when the joy left. Like, what do you mean the joy left? I think we all know that, right? There's a sense in which that initial joy of being with the Lord is there, and then we also can, if you just would think for a moment, you can pinpoint when it wasn't the same anymore and what caused it. And I can tell you right now, it was sin. I can't remember what the sin was anymore, but I remember it was sin. Sin, folks, your sin robs you of the greatest blessing that you can have in your life out of the relationship with him. That is a sense of joy. Doesn't matter what else is going on around you. I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness and joy are two different things. Life could be turned.